Choosing the right kind of outdoors destination can make you feel like Goldilocks as you consider what amount of wilderness versus conveniences would feel just right for you. Three of Yorick Harker's favorite places all offer dramatic landscapes and their own level of risk and reward. We'll get his recommendations for breathtaking views in the great outdoors of Europe in just a second. A little later, Professor Jerry Broughton helps us orient ourselves with a deep dive into the meaning that people over the centuries have given to the four points on the compass. And we'll check in with writer Eric Weiner to consider what's in a name when places decide to change what we should call them. Let's start the hour with tour guide Yorick Harker's advice for choosing how dramatic you want to go to experience nature in Europe. Yorick leads tours in Iceland and Switzerland and lives in the picturesque Lake District in the northwest corner of England. That's where you'll find England's highest peak and its largest and deepest lakes. Yorick, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much.
So you love nature, and you've found a way to turn that into a livelihood by being a tour guide that takes people to some of the most beautiful places in all of Europe. How's that working out for you?
I love it.
I get that sense when I meet you and I see you working, is that you love it so much. Hey, well, let's talk about your areas of focus, because you've chosen Switzerland, Iceland, and Cumbria. We'll talk about each of those places, but let's first introduce this little discussion of ours just by the review. Why these three? How are they different? How do they complement each other? How are they places that are fun to be working as a tour guide?
Yeah, it's a good question. First and foremost, the Lake District I love, because even when I've come back from Switzerland, Iceland, I always grin as I come over the road and I start to see the view of the lakes from Keswick in particular, and I always grin. And I think the reason with the lakes, first and foremost, it's a very human scale. It can be sort of held, almost you feel within your hands, and it's got a very homely feel to it. And I don't want to disrespect the mountains, but you're not really in so much danger. If anything right. really goes wrong, there's always a pub, a village close by.
So that's Cumbria, the Lake District. That's the northwest corner of England.
Yes.
And you talked about the Lake District as human scale and homely. I love how the English people say homely as a compliment. And there's always a pub nearby. Well, I can't think of a place that is less like that, really, than Iceland. Iceland makes me feel really small, and there's probably not a pub nearby. Tell us about Iceland and why that is attractive to you.
Definitely. And I think it's that contrast. I love the national parks in the States, but we don't have that same feel, really, in Europe. That idea where, wow, this is nature, big scale. This is where I really have to put my serious head on. And so for me, it's the desert. People say the desert in Iceland. I'm like, yeah, like the Arctic tundra. I mean, NASA goes, when they need to road test something for a lunar landing, for Mars, they go to Iceland. It's just that extreme. You just know that this is just a different world out there. And now you really have to have your serious head on to look after yourself.
And this is almost made to order, because the third place that you specialize as a tour guide is Switzerland. And Switzerland seems to fall between Iceland and Cumbria in this human scale, homely, safe versus big scale, dramatic Arctic desert or less safe. Tell us about how Switzerland is attractive to you as a teacher and a guide and a nature lover.
Yeah, it very much falls in between. And so we can feel like we're in the big mountains. We've got the Eiger in front of us, for example, or the Jungfrau. But we really know we're not going to go up them.
Yeah.
We can look at them. They're beautiful. And maybe we combine the two in that we can walk on the balcony levels, you know, those mid-level trails. But the extremes, they're just a little beyond us. But we can take it in. And if it all gets a little bit too damp and wet, then there is at least, if not a pub, there's a little farm. You can get some
nice
Alpkäser and so on.
Yeah, what I call the cow culture. So that's it. In Switzerland, you've got this staggering Jungfrau, but unless you're some serious mountaineer, you're not going to climb it. But if you've got a few bucks, you can ride the lift up to the top of those peaks and have breakfast in a revolving restaurant. So it's accessible, but it's still jaw-droppingly dramatic. And then you've got your little town that you call home, which is a farm community. And that's where you get that coziness like an English pub. So you've got the big nature, you've got the accessibility, and you've got the cozy home base for eating and sleeping point of view. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Yorick Harker. York is a guide. He's a trained mountaineering instructor, and he works guiding groups around Switzerland, Iceland, and Cumbria with a focus on nature. You can hear our past interviews with York on our website at ricksteves.com/radio. So, York, I'd like to, in our remaining minutes together, let you, as the tour guide, inspire us with just a nice plan of attack for the first visit to one of these places. And I'm going to ask you first about the Lakes District, then Iceland, and then Switzerland. Tell us just if we're trying to put together a trip, and it's our first time there, we like getting out and hiking, and we don't have a lot of time, what would you propose for our visit to the Lake District in Northwest England?
I think I would use as a base the town of Keswick. And there are some really nice walks which are either at lake level around the nearest lake, or you can either by bus, by car, go over to the next few valleys. And if you wanted to go a little bit higher up, then there's some high level walks, quite easy to find the trails. Obviously, you should still be adept at navigation, have some safety equipment. But I would do that. I would base myself in Keswick and use the valleys around those areas and
there
the peaks.
There you go. And that word is Keswick, K-E-S-W-I-C-K. That is, I think, the great, less touristy home base with all the pubs and the places to eat and the small accommodations, the guest houses and bed and breakfasts. And just as you were describing that, I was thinking of all the wonderful places you've got within an hour of by bus or on foot or even on boat from Keswick. Okay, now, York, take us to Iceland. What would our best plan for a first nature lover's adventure in Iceland be?
First of all, you never know what's going to happen out there. So do be flexible, be adaptable, especially in the winter. So really respect road conditions and always listen to the locals. That's what I've been doing for 20 years there.
Let me underline that, because as a visitor to Iceland, who's really has been quite green about Iceland, I was impressed by all of the information stations and these safety stations on the road and in the towns. Take some time, listen to the advice, and take it seriously, because the wind can kick up and blow you right into the sea. I mean, you can open your car door and it can be blown off as you explore nature in Iceland. Excuse me for interrupting you there, but I just wanted to underline that point because it's very important. Okay.
No, thank you for doing that, because 20 years ago you didn't get safety signs because the locals wouldn't stand on a piece of ice in an ice lake. In a few days for your first time there, concentrate on the South Shore. That will give you a really great picture of the country, and it will give you some of the largest waterfalls. It will give you some of the most amazing volcanoes, especially in the south at the moment. It will give you just that feel of what the original settlers had to deal with.
It's a great mix of the nature and the fascinating history, and accessible to the airport and to the capital city of Reykjavik. So Reykjavik, and then all along the south coast to the far tip, which is a town called Vik, V-I-K. And along that way, if you do your studying, there's plenty of natural opportunities for the traveler. And let's finish things off, York, with a look at Switzerland. How would you plan your first visit to Switzerland as a nature lover?
I would encourage people to go to Lauterbrunnen Valley. There's nothing like that valley. That's just incredible.
And that's just an hour away from the capital city of Bern, and it's in a region called the Berner Oberland. So Lauterbrunnen Valley. Okay, carry on.
If you're able, I know most North American flights come into Zurich, but for me, I love to land in Geneva and take the train from Geneva through Lausanne. Beautiful wine-producing area. It's an amazing journey.
Wow. And then when we get to Lauterbrunnen Valley, what are we going to see? What are we going to do?
You will see one of the steepest valleys in Europe. If you're an extreme sports person, then that's your playground. If you just want to watch just all sorts of amazing sports going on.
The base jumpers. When I'm in Lauterbrunnen, I spend a lot of time craning my head up because everybody's pointing like it's Superman up there. No, it's a base jumper. And then it takes your breath away to see these guys leaping off the cliff and then finally pulling the cord, and their parachute, hopefully, lets them gently hit the ground.
I like mountains, but I like to stay on that mountain. But then, of course, we've both done the Via Ferrata.
Tell us what a Via Ferrata is, because that's probably the most accessible piece of crazy adventure nature that I've ever experienced. It's safe, but it is really scary.
Very briefly, Via Ferrata, the Italian, it means the iron way, the fixed way, and it's basically huge steel cable fixed to the outside of these huge daunting cliffs. And you do have equipment. You can go along with a guide, and you'll have a harness, you'll have clips made of steel, and you'll clip those onto the cable, so you are attached the entire length of the walk. But yeah, some of the drops can be pretty dramatic.
Oh, Yorick, you're clipped to the iron cable, and then you're walking from one to the next rebar U-shaped. It's like a giant staple that's put into the cliffside. I'll never forget looking between my legs straight down the cliff to tiny cows that were just like a quarter of an inch big from my perspective. But if you want a thrill, if you're reasonably fit, and I would recommend getting a guide to make sure you are enjoying it safely. But the Via Ferrata in Lauterbrunnen Valley, or there's a number of Via Ferrata around Europe, it really is a highlight, isn't it?
Definitely. And of course, those cows below will be perfectly positioned. The Swiss would have got up early in the morning to make sure that the valley is looking just at tip-top level.
Yorick Harker, thank you so much. Listening to you review your three favorite places, I would love to have 5 days in each of these places. Well, 4 days plus 1 day to travel. So you could have 4 days in the lakes of northern England. You could have 4 days in Iceland and 4 days in Switzerland. That would be a nature lover's delight. Yorick Harker, thank you so much, and I hope to see you on a mountaintop somewhere in Europe soon.
Always a pleasure, and hope to see you soon.
We overfly the old continent, and we have a good, jolly good time, sniffing the Swiss air, riding in a magical chair, like Peter Pan and a lightning can. Say now, this is your captain speaking, and I am peeking.
If you find yourself challenged at giving directions, perhaps our next guest can offer some perspective on deciphering your east from your west. And in a bit, Eric Weiner considers how place names can change from what we're used to, and why. That's just ahead on Travel with Rick Steves.